you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu Plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio.
Happy Friday, I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
And I'm Holly Fry.
We talked about Deborah Sampson Gannett this week, who we've gotten various listener requests to talk about on the show. I meant to say in the actual episode and forgot that I followed, even though I did not finish reading the novel Revolutionary, I did actually follow Alex Meyer's direction on being open to talking about Robert Shurtleff by that name during the time that Deborah Sampson was disguised as Robert Shurtleff.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, historians and otherwise who have looked at the story, have pretty much concluded that this was a disguise and that more than likely she would not identify as transgender today, especially because she went, she sort of returned to life as a woman after her time in the military was over. But I also thought it would be interesting to just kind of let her experience be more fluid, which it also seems to have been in having been undiscovered for a full 18 months, because that would have taken a lot of work. We did not get into that very much at all.
Mm-mm.
Also didn't get into how many women would have been around as camp followers.
There
would have been a lot of other women there doing things like cooking for people, and just a lot of people who wound up being camp followers are people who, like, the men in their lives had joined and they had no way to sustain themselves without somebody there. And so they just wound up kind of following along. Which was one of the reasons that they were disparaged in some ways. A lot of them, like, were absolutely impoverished and had no means to support themselves at all, and had just kind of wound up at the camp.
Yeah. There was that write-up that we were reading the quotes from that I was just like, whew. It's so simultaneously praising and demeaning.
Yes.
That it's like,
yeah,
it makes my brain spin. It's like a weird, no, she was a good one.
Yeah.
Of these horrible people that would be deviant. It's like, oh.
There's speculation about who wrote this piece, like who either wrote the piece or talked to a reporter, like who would have done that, because it doesn't seem like she did it herself, but it may have been like one of the officers who found out what had happened.
Right.
For reasons, maybe hoping to set the stage of her being able to claim some pension or some assistance later on. Don't really know. There's a kind of a big mystery there. I was still in the pulling the resources phase when I found the thing about her in Notable Black American Women. And what I thought had happened at first, a lot of the books that are in that search will have virtually an identical article on somebody or an event spread across multiple publications with like very little editing. It's like the same thing will be reused from one place to another. And so I originally thought that it was just an error because it was almost word for word identical to another one that was in another article that was about the revolution more generally and not about Black women specifically. And then when I started looking into it, I found just some heated discussions about it. I found one, an archive of what I am assuming was a listserv back when, I don't know if people are still using listservs, but when I used listservs, it was in the 1990s. And this was a listserv from the 1990s and early 2000s. And there was some heated conversation among people about her race. And one of the things that really struck me is that there would be a lot of people who were like, here's the book that it traces back to, and here are other places that it was picked up, and there was, like, citation of all of that. But then the counterpoint sometimes would be like, no, she was Black. The idea that she was white came from the National Geographic article, and they apologized. And I was like, what National Geographic article and what apology? And I would start trying to track it down and just kind of go down a big rabbit hole. It was just a whole huge, I don't know. Apparently, this is a thing that will crop up over and over and over again, that there was somebody within this listserv, like a historian who was part of it, who just had a pre-written thing that she would send back in every time somebody asked the question that was like detailing what we knew about her family history and what seemed to be the source for that idea.
So fascinating.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, that's like I said in the, or like we both said in the episode, like there was really important, necessary, valuable work being done to document the contributions of Black people to the revolution. I found a thing somewhere that suggested that between 5 and 10% of the Continental Army were Black. I wasn't able to go look that up, but like, yeah, that was such important work. And I can totally see where people got to that conclusion from the way that passage was written in the book about the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can see how people made that conclusion and then how it kind of spread from there. But if anybody has, like, pinpointed this was her ancestor, this is who we're talking about, like, I wasn't able to find that. And it definitely does not seem like she or other people living at the same time as her thought that she was, in today's words, Black or a person of color.
Right. Yeah, that seems like it would have come up.
Yeah.
But I guess there will always be a little bit of, we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. The historian, I have forgotten his name, but the book that we referenced at the end that is like a historical book about her that's been published relatively recently, the historian that worked on that talked about talking to descendants of hers. And they're having a variety of responses to this whole question. Some of them being like, no, and I'm irritated that you asked, all the way to the other end of the spectrum being sort of like, I don't actually know, but if she was, like, I'd be interested to know.
Right.
So I found that very interesting, too.
I, of course, thought of Mulan throughout the entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which undoubtedly, like, the version that we have in the U.S., like the Disney version, is certainly informed by stories like Deborah's. We even mention how her write-up by Herman Mann is very similar to other ones from prior to her. Like, I think those all get amalgamated in a story like Mulan that's made for a general audience as a fiction piece.
Yeah. Yeah. And we've had other episodes before that have been about women who disguised themselves as men to serve in an army at some point. Like, that's been, I wouldn't call it a recurring theme, but, you know, maybe three-ish times over the past many years that you and I have been on the show that has come up. And there are some similar beats in a lot of those stories. Some of them, I have felt a lot more, like, I felt like I knew more about that particular person's thoughts and feelings than with Deborah Sampson, because so much of what we know of her was filtered through this largely fictionalized biography slash novel. And the things that we have that are her own words are things like her journal from the tour. She apparently kept a journal while she was in the service, which would have been an amazing resource to have, but it was lost when the boat that she was traveling on was capsized, according to the Herman Mann biography. But that's right. Like a document that if that really was a real thing, I wish we had it, because we might know a lot more about, like, how she felt about this whole situation and how she felt about herself when she was in the army. A lot of those questions we don't really know.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
I'm Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Did you know small businesses make up 99.9% of all businesses in the United States? The world is powered by entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks. And every episode, hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres talk to entrepreneurs about how they've grown from the lessons of launching and nurturing a small business, and how they have found success being their own boss. From the excitement of first starting out to finding the right tools and resources to process invoices and payments like QuickBooks Money, you won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too. And if you're a small business owner or even someone dreaming of starting your own business, then you'll want to check out Season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from Ruby Studio, from iHeartMedia, and Intuit QuickBooks.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Tracy, I should have told you before we recorded our episode about the Bibb family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm braced for a lot of people to be real angry.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who really love Major Bibb.
Oh, yeah.
And I clearly have some issues with him.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, there are people and connections that you have and you want to make the best of him. And yes, he did eventually free people, but I get really hung up on, like, Why'd you wait until you were dead?
Right.
You didn't want to inconvenience yourself? Is that what's going on here? Like, that's where I get really hung up. And I'm like, that doesn't necessarily make for a great person.
Yeah, that point comes up a lot in the, especially among like historical figures who are well known and that becomes part of this. And then when they died, they freed all of their enslaved workers. And it's like, they were dead by that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a struggle. There's also the fact that George is a fascinating and troubling figure. He, beyond this, we didn't get into this in the episode, but went on to even greater positions of power, right? Mm-hmm. He was part of President Tyler's cabinet. He, you know, and when you consider that this is a person who really, really like, wrote what to me reads as a very coercive letter suggesting really not actually obeying the spirit of his father's will,
mm-hmm.
and then went on to have so much power. That also troubles me a lot.
Sure.
His relationship with Andrew Jackson is weird. He supported him, but then he fought with him, but they had like a weird thing going on. George is a trick in many ways. Mm-hmm. But yes, the other thing about Major Bibb providing for his enslaved workforce to become free after his death, that I think maybe George had a point that he didn't think everything through,
mm-hmm.
is that there's no provision to ensure anyone's safety.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like he knew for certain that the Civil War was coming and that this would all get solved. But at the same time, he did know he was living in a slave state.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to know, unless he was just willfully blind to the realities of our country and the world at that point, that put every one of those people at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Richard.
Yeah.
What are you doing, man?
Yeah. Did you ever listen to the podcast, The Nod?
Some. I'm very bad about keeping up with podcasts, is my horrible confession as a podcaster.
Yeah, and I would sort of pick and choose episodes of that particular show. The show was canceled a while back, but I'm pretty sure you can still get these episodes. They had episodes about the Hairston family, mm-hmm. in North Carolina, which had some parallels to the Bibb family and having reunions among the people who were descendants of enslaved people and the people who were descendants of the white family and the overlap, because there were people who were descendants. It was the same situation of this, the enslavers having fathered children with their enslaved workforce, which obviously would have been rape. And like just talking about from people's own perspectives what it was like to be part of this family and to go to these reunions and things like that. It's been years since I listened to those episodes, but I remember having the slowly dawning realization that I knew some of the people they were talking about, mm-hmm. Because this plantation was in North Carolina, not that far from where I grew up. And anyway, that is another place to find other perspective on that aspect of this episode.
Yeah, I know we mentioned it at the end of the episode, but I also just want to reiterate that I really, really think Linnea O'Neill's piece, The Bitter Harvest of Richard Bibb, is super important for people to read. She doesn't pull punches. She's very frank. These are conversations that most white people do not have the fortitude to have.
Mm-hmm.
They're hard. They mostly want to be told, like, no, you're good. And it doesn't help anybody deal with the literally hundreds of years of anger that people have been inheriting and kind of sucking up, which is super unhealthy.
Yeah. And the generational trauma.
Yes. So that is it's a very good read. I really cannot recommend it highly enough. I kept going back to John Bibb's life and thinking about how much of like his decisions are the result of being someone privileged enough to have a family who had generational wealth built by enslaved people. Mm-hmm. Like there's that whole, there's a big 10-year gap in his life where he closes his law practice and he doesn't get into politics for like almost 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because he could just hang out.
Right.
Which sounds great, I'm sure, to all of us, although I'd hope none of us would choose to do it as a result of other people's enslaved labor. Mm-hmm. But like that is what his life of wealth afforded him. Mm-hmm. And any of those people who were working for his family as enslaved workforce couldn't be like, you know, I'm having bad health. I need to take 10 years off. They couldn't do it.
Right, right.
That's where I like get frustrated and want to cry in anger. I also want to mention, we mentioned Joshua Fry, who is interesting. He's the person that taught John Bibb as a kid and a lot of prominent Kentuckians. He also has his own complicated relationship with slavery. And I don't want to let him off the hook. We didn't get into it because it was like going to sidetrack the whole thing, but he's very interesting. He really like forwarded education in many ways. He also had problematic parts of his life. Just want to make sure we acknowledge that because I don't want to gloss past any of it. This was not the episode I meant to do.
Yeah.
I'm like, sometimes. Alfredo was so fun. Let's talk about lettuce. Oh, damn it. I promise there'll be another fun one, but we got to have these conversations because they're super important. If this is the end of your work week and you are about to come upon some days off, I hope that they are good to you and that you have some relaxation and some time to reflect on whatever you're working through. This is a very strange time in all of our lives. I know you probably have a lot on your mind. I know I do. So I hope that you get some space to work through any of that, however works best for you. If you have to work, I'm sorry. if you have other responsibilities, I'm also sorry. I would like for all of us to live lives of leisure. But I hope that whatever you have to do goes as smoothly as possible and is as unstressful as possible. And we will be right back here with you tomorrow with a classic and then on Monday with brand new episodes.
Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox?
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.